The title of the sermon this morning is Time Out. So if you want to take out your worship guide and take some notes, you can do that. Time out. I want to talk to you about the importance of timeouts this morning. Now, this is not the kind of timeouts that you use to discipline a child. And it's not not the kind of timeout that you would use necessarily in sports. This is a different kind of timeout. Now, when I played basketball, timeouts were extremely important. Timeouts, you'd be in the middle of a very heated game, and the coach would call a timeout, and you'd go to the sidelines, and you get a chance to take a break, a quick break, get a breather, get a drink of water, and you get a chance to refresh yourselves on the game plan. It also gives the coach an opportunity to motivate his players, to discipline his players, to remind his players of the game plan, give his players some pointers. So timeouts are very, very important in sports. And that's similar to the kind of timeout I want to talk to you about this morning. Mothers need a timeout. In fact, we all do. This message is directed at mothers, but everybody's going to benefit from this. Everybody needs a daily timeout. Being a mother is hard work. And a timeout gives you time to catch your breath, to get recharged, refreshed, motivated, instructed. And as Christians, we need a timeout every single day. And that timeout, a spiritual timeout that I want to talk to you about this morning, is a daily quiet time. A daily quiet time. A mother's job is pretty difficult. Salary.com is a firm based in Massachusetts that specializes in determining compensation. And they did a survey of 40,000 mothers. And they found that the typical mother puts in a 92-hour work week and works at least 10 jobs. Housekeeper, teacher, cook, computer operator, laundry machine operator, janitor, facilities manager, van driver, CEO, and psychologist. The firm calculated that if a mother were paid for her work, she should be earning almost $140,000 a year. This is full-time mothers. Now, even mothers who work a full-time job outside the home put in $85,000 worth of work just as a mother. So being a mother is difficult. Another study found that women who never have children enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months of leisure time every year. That's not encouragement to not have children, by the way. It's just to show that a mother's job is difficult. She has a lot on her plate, and if anybody needs a timeout, it's mothers. If anybody needs a daily quiet time, it's mothers. And so we're going to talk about that today. What is a daily quiet time? Through the centuries, it's been referred to as different things, as the morning watch, personal devotions, appointment with God, the personal devotional time. We call it the daily quiet time. Here's a definition. A daily quiet time is a daily time of personal fellowship with God through the Bible and prayer for the purpose of knowing Him and becoming more like Him. It's a daily time of personal fellowship with God through the Bible and prayer for the purpose of knowing Him more and becoming more like Him. Let me give you several reasons to have a daily quiet time. What we're talking about is carving out a little bit of time every day to get alone with God. It's one of the first habits that I like to teach Christians, new Christians. If you want to be a growing Christian, if you want to be a healthy Christian, you need to carve out a little time each day to be alone with your Heavenly Father. And so that's tough. It's tough if you're busy, like a mother. It's tough to carve out another thing on your daily to-do list. So is it worth it? Let me give you some reasons why you want to do this. Number one, to give devotion to God. To give devotion to God. How do we stay devoted to God? How do we stay on fire for God? How do we keep ourselves from backsliding? How do we keep ourselves from fading into lukewarm, casual Christianity? That's what a daily quiet time helps you to do. You know, most of the problems that I face in life are the result of me allowing other things to come before God. That's the reason for most of the problems I face in life. It's because I allow other things to creep in and take God's place as number one in my life. And so in life, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. How do we keep the main thing? How do we keep God first in our lives? How do we make sure that we don't replace him on the throne? Well, that's what a daily quiet time helps you to do. Every day it's a chance to recommit. Renew your commitment to God and say, God, you're supposed to be first. I'm sorry for taking you off the throne yesterday. I'm putting you back in charge. I'm getting back behind you. I'm giving you the steering wheel of my life again. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. Take up his cross daily. Keeping God first requires a daily decision. It's a daily conscious decision. Today, I'm starting over and I'm going to put you first, Lord. But when do you get to make that decision? A quiet time is an appointment with God every day so that you can remake that decision to put God first. The Bible tells us that one of the keys to staying devoted to God is to staying in his word. You got to stay in the word. Psalm 1, 1 through 2, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. It says, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. If you want to be a healthy, strong Christian, you got to stay in God's word. Not just Sunday mornings. We got to stay in it all week long. How do you do that? That's what a daily quiet time does. It's a daily appointment to get in God's word and to hear from him. God wants you to grow as a Christian. When you get saved, you're a baby Christian. You're a spiritual baby. And you're very cute, just like a baby. But you throw up all over yourself and you poop yourself. And you make lots of mistakes, and you don't talk very well. And so you need to grow. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. He wants you to grow as a Christian and not get stuck in spiritual puberty, if you will. So how do you make sure that you keep growing as a Christian? How do you make sure that you don't just get stuck in a certain place? A daily quiet time is as important, if not more, than anything else as for helping you to keep growing in Christ. Keep taking your next steps. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. You need the word to grow, and that's what a daily quiet time helps you to do. It helps you to get in the word every single day. The Bible commands us to imitate Christ. That's what a Christian is, a follower of Jesus. We're to imitate Christ's example and our character, conduct, and convictions. And how do you get better at imitating Christ? Well, the more time you spend with someone, the more you become like them. And that's the way it is with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you will become like him. You know, after spending 40 days on the mountain, receiving the Ten Commandments, when Moses came down from the mountain, do you remember what his face looked like? His face was shining because he had spent so much time with God. And so everybody was afraid of him. So he actually had to put a veil on his face. He would take the veil off when he'd go back into the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, to pray. And then he would come out and put that veil back over his face because it was so shining. He had been with God. He started to look like God. He started to resemble the glory of God. That's what happens when you spend more and more time with God, more and more time with Jesus. You start to look like him. After a married couple has been together for 50 years, they start to become a lot alike. They start to like the same things, and they have the same tastes, and sometimes they even start to look like each other. And that's because they spent so much time together. And that's what happens when you spend more and more time with the Lord. That's what a daily quiet time does. It gives you a chance, an opportunity to spend time alone with your Heavenly Father. You'll become more like him. And so number one, have a daily quiet time to give devotion to God, to stay devoted, to stay growing. Number two, you need to have a daily quiet time to get direction from God. To get direction from God. Mothers have to make many, many decisions about discipline, education, nutrition, scheduling, finances, clothing, marriage, time management. and on and on and on. A mother's life is full of decisions. And the good news is we don't have to make decisions alone. In fact, we better not. God wants to help us. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to teach us, instruct us, counsel us, guide us. But we need to seek it out. We have to seek out that wisdom. And that's what a daily quiet time is for. It's a daily appointment to get before the Lord and say, God, I need your direction today. I need your help with all the important decisions that I have to make. And the Bible says that we receive direction from God in two primary ways. The first is prayer. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. So how do we receive wisdom from God? You have to ask for it. And that's what a daily quiet time is every day. You get before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm facing this decision. I'm having trouble with this particular thing. I don't know what to do. Help me out. Give me wisdom. That's what a daily quiet time is for. Another way that we receive direction from God is through his word. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. God directs us into how we should live, how we should believe, and the types of decisions we should make through his word. You got to stay in his word. That's what a quiet time helps you to do. God has spoken very clearly. Lydia's got some remarkable stories that she's told me about times when God has spoken very, very clearly to her in her quiet time. She tells about how whenever she was nearing high school graduation, her plans were to go to Mary Hardin Baylor in Texas for college and to study dentistry. She wanted to become a dentist. And she said as she was nearing graduation, she had during her daily quiet time, she was spending time alone with her Heavenly Father. And he didn't tell her everything she wanted to know, but he told her, not that school and not that major. Not that school, not that major. She ended up down the road changing her major to elementary education, which sure has come in handy. And she changed her school to Louisiana College in Alexandria. And if it wouldn't have been for that decision, we would have never met. And so God has spoken to her very, very clearly. Bill Hybels, he says, ministry, Christian rock concerts, weekend conferences, church committee meetings, these all may be valuable, but they are not your main source of strength. Strength comes from solitude. That means getting alone with God. Decisions that change the entire course of your life usually come out of the Holy of Holies. So those big breakthroughs, God just reveals things to you and gives you direction and guidance. They come through that close relationship with God, which is nurtured in a quiet time. So, number three, let's move on. We get direction from God in our quiet time. A third reason to have a daily quiet time is to give my desires to God. To give my desires to God. The Bible says that prayer is to play a major role in our lives. As men and women of God, we are to be people of prayer. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray constantly. I mean, we are to be people of prayer. When you look at the commands to pray in the Bible, you should feel inadequate. You should feel like, I'm not praying as much as I should. And we're just pray because it says in James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. How do we appropriate the blessings that God has promised to us? It's through prayer. God wants to give you guidance. He wants to give you strength. He wants to give you blessings. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to give you peace. How do we get these things from God? He doesn't just give them to us automatically. We receive these blessings through prayer. Only as we ask do we receive. And that's what this verse, James 4:2, is saying. You have not because you ask not. You don't have because you haven't been praying for it. Our Heavenly Father wants us to take our needs to Him, our desires to Him in prayer. That's what a quiet time does. God wants you to be a man or a woman of prayer. How can you become a man or a woman of prayer? How can you pray as you should for your children and for your spouse and for your career and for our country and for your church? How do we pray as much as we need to? That's what a quiet time is for. It's your daily appointment with God. It's your daily time set aside for prayer, your most important work of the day. Number four, we need a daily quiet time to gain strength from God. To gain strength from God. Oh, mothers need strength. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus promises to give us rest. He promises to strengthen us, to refresh our energy, to charge our batteries. But he starts out by saying, "Come to me." If you want Jesus' strength, you've got to come to him. And you've got to ask for it. When do you come to him? That's what a daily quiet time is for. Every morning you're going to him. You're saying, "Jesus, I need your strength for today. I can't make it today. I can't be the woman you want me to be. I can't be the man you want me to be today without your strength. I need you to fill me with your spirit. I need you to energize me. I don't feel like doing school today. I don't feel like going to work today. I don't feel like doing the laundry today. I don't have the energy, the strength, the discipline effectively today. I need your strength." You got to pray for that every day. Psalm 55, 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." God wants to sustain you. He wants to strengthen you. But what is the condition? Cast your care or cast your burden upon the Lord. You've got to take the time. You've got to be disciplined to go to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 19:7 tells us another source of spiritual strength. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. The commands of the Lord are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it." We also get strength for our daily battles, our daily struggles, our daily challenges, our daily responsibilities from God's word. God speaks to us through his word, and it gives us the strength we need. But you got to go to God's word. You've got to read it. As a Christian, there's almost nothing more than I want as your pastor than to know that you're reading your Bible. You've got to read your Bible. Some people say, "Well, I just can't understand it." Listen, I can help you understand it. I can point you to parts in the Bible that are easier to understand, and I can help you find a good system, a good rhythm, a good habit. But there's really no excuse for you not to be reading your Bible. But that's how we get daily strength. Imagine that you stop at a gas station to get gas, but it's one of those old-fashioned gas stations where the attendant fills it up for you, and you pull up to the pump, and you tell the attendant, "Fill it up." Only problem is you don't stop the car. You just keep circling the pumps. If you don't stop, you can't be filled up. And in life, it's the same way. If you want strength, the strength that God wants to give you, you can't just keep going. You got to stop every once in a while. You got to let the Lord fill you up. You got to let him recharge your batteries. That's what a daily quiet time is. And one of the hardest things to do for some people, depending on your personality, is to be still. It's to slow down. Stop for a minute. Be quiet for a minute. Let the Lord energize you. Charge your batteries. To have energy, you have to eat. Many Christians are weak because they're malnourished. Where do we get our spiritual food? That's from prayer and God's word. That's our spiritual food. A lot of Christians, they only eat on Sunday mornings. That's better than nothing. But it's not enough. Imagine if the only time you ate was on Sundays. You'd be a pretty malnourished, pretty weak Christian or person. It's the same way. If the only time you're eating spiritual food, the only time you're feasting on God's word is a Sunday morning, then you're not going to keep growing. You're not going to be strong and energized. On a number of occasions, Jesus invited his disciples to come apart with him. He said, come apart with me. In other words, get alone with me to recuperate, to recharge your batteries. Vance Havner said, if you don't come apart periodically, then you will literally come apart. All right, so number five, this is the last reason to have a daily quiet time that we're going to discuss this morning, is to get used by God. To get used by God. As a mother, you have the most important job in all the world. You are raising those children to follow Jesus Christ. You are raising those kids to be champions for Jesus. It's the most important job anybody could ever have. So you need to become useful to God. You need to have such a relationship with God that the Holy Spirit is flowing through you. And he's given you the words to say. And he's given you the right attitude to have with your children. And helping you to make those decisions that are important to be able to protect your children from harmful influences. And so how can you make sure that God is using you in the greatest capacity in the lives of your children? Jesus tells us, John 15:5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. So the key to being used by God is to remain in Christ. That's the key to bearing fruit, to producing much fruit. Remain in Christ. That means keep a constant, close connection with Christ. To abide in Christ, to remain in Christ, keep a constant, close connection. Jesus says, stay connected and fruit happens. Just stay connected to Jesus, stay close, and he will work through you. He will flow through you. He will use you in the lives of your children, but you got to stay connected. That's what a daily quiet time helps you to do. It helps you to stay connected, helps you to stay close to Jesus so that he can use you in the lives of the people around you. Success gurus call it the X factor. And the X factor is what some people call your focal point. I don't know if you've ever heard these terms. The idea is, what one activity, if you did it regularly and skillfully, you know, consistently, with discipline, would positively impact your life more than anything else? It's a question that success gurus ask people as they're teaching conferences and seminars. What's that one activity that if you did it regularly, skillfully, if you did it real well, you did it consistently, you didn't miss, what's that one activity that would positively impact your life more than anything else? Soon as I read that question, I immediately knew what the answer was for a Christian. It's your daily quiet time. That's your X factor as a Christian. That's your X factor as a mother. What's the one activity that I need to do consistently, skillfully, regularly, so that I can be the best mother that I can be? It's the X factor. It's your daily quiet time. Rick Warren said, every great man or woman of God throughout history has spent much time alone with God. Anyone who has ever been used mightily by the Lord was a man or woman of the word and prayer. The regular quiet time was the one thing they had in common. The common denominator between Moses, David, Daniel, Paul, John Calvin, John Wesley, Charles Finney, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, Billy Graham, and all of the great saints in history is that they all spent much time with God in personal fellowship. Dr. Charles Stanley, many of you have heard him on the radio, he said, our intimacy with God, his highest priority for our lives, determines the impact of our lives. Our intimacy with God determines the impact of our lives. You want to make a big impact on your children? You want your children to have the greatest chance of growing up to follow Jesus? You've got to be spending time alone with the Lord. Andrew Bonner was a great 19th century preacher in England. He had three rules that he lived by. Rule number one, not to speak to any person before speaking to Jesus Christ. Number two, not to do anything with his hands until he had been on his knees. And rule number three, not to read the papers until he had read his Bible. That's good rules to live by. First thing you should do in the day, spend time with God. Talk to Jesus before you talk to your friends. Talk to Jesus before you talk to your children. All right, so let's get into some specifics, how to have a daily quiet time. For some of you, this is old, and you've been having a quiet time for a long time, but if that's the case, then you know how important this is for everybody to understand and to learn how to have a daily quiet time. How to have a daily quiet time. Number one, you need to choose a time when you can be consistent. Choose a time when you can be consistent. For most people, the morning is best. So carve out 20 to 30 minutes. You can even start with 15. You'll quickly find 15 flies by, and you'll want more time. Start with 10 minutes. Start with 5 minutes if that's enough. But carve out a time when you can be consistent. Psalm 5:3, King David said, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I plead my case to you and watch expectantly." In the morning, have a daily quiet time. Matthew Henry said, "It is our wisdom and duty to begin every day with God." He wrote that hundreds of years ago. E.M. Bounds said, "The children of this world are far wiser than we are. They are busy at work early and late." You might say, "I don't have time for a daily quiet time." I'm reminded of Bobby Bowden. He was the championship coach at Florida State, their football team, for years, Hall of Fame coach. And I read about him that he would get up every day at 4 a.m. to spend time with God. He was a strong Christian. Every day at 4 a.m. He said he wouldn't have a spiritual life if it weren't for that 4 a.m. appointment with God. The truth is that you don't have time to not have a daily quiet time. Martin Luther, the reformer, said, "I have so much to do today that I have to spend 3 hours in prayer." He realized that his effectiveness comes on his knees. Hudson Taylor, the missionary, said, "Do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer and get first of all into harmony with Him." So choose a time when you can be consistent. For me, that's around 3:30 in the morning. That's when I have my quiet time. So I've tried to wait and do it later on. I could carve out time later on in the day, but it's just not the same. It's hard to be consistent and distraction-free. So for me, and for many people, it's the morning. Number two, choose a place where you can be alone and undisturbed. Choose a place where you can be alone and undisturbed. I've even heard people say that sometimes in a quiet time, you'll want to pray out loud. You may even want to sing a song to the Lord. And so you might want to try to find a place where you can actually quietly sing or quietly speak aloud to the Lord without disturbing others or being embarrassed. But find an alone place where you can be alone and undisturbed. Mark 1:35 tells us about Jesus. He often did this. It says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying." So it was early in the morning, still dark. Jesus got alone with his Heavenly Father to pray. Number three, for your daily quiet time, I encourage journaling. Journaling. It helps to keep a prayer journal. Just get you a notebook. You can keep a list of your prayer requests. You can write down how they're answered and when they're answered. One of the cool things that I've been doing for the past few years with my prayer journal is at the very top of the journal, I actually keep a short history. So anytime a significant event happens in our life, like we got a new washing machine, even something as simple as that, but I'll write down the date and say, "We got a new washing machine," or so-and-so at church got baptized this week, or something like that, or so-and-so at church got married this week. I remember when Chad and Stephanie got married, I wrote that down in my prayer journal. But that's a cool thing to do. You can keep a little history. But for a prayer journal, what you're doing is reflection, examining your life. You're writing down, just write down a few thoughts. How am I doing with God? A good thing to do with your prayer journal is start with the word yesterday. And just write down what happened yesterday, who you interacted with, how it went, how did you do, how do you need to change, how do you need to grow. Write down what God is teaching you. Write down what God is showing you. Write down what you think God may be leading you to do. John Maxwell calls this the law of reflection. He wrote a book on the 15 laws of growth, personal growth. He said, learning to pause allows growth to catch up with you. You need time to take what you've learned and let it marinate and apply. Experience is not the best teacher. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. Reflection changes experience into insight. So journaling helps you to reflect. Just think about your day. Think about your life. And then number four, for a daily quiet time, you need prayer. You need prayer. This is the main feature of your quiet time, is to spend time in prayer with the Lord. And for generations, Christians have been using the ACTS system of prayer, A-C-T-S, just like the book of Acts in the Bible, so that you have a balanced prayer life, so that you're not just asking for things. But you start with A. A stands for adoration. So when you pray, you start out by adoring the Lord or praising Him. Lord, I praise You because You're awesome. You're great. You're the Creator, the Savior. You're sovereign. You're in charge. You're my provider. You're my protector. I just praise You, Lord. Start out with adoration. Then you move to C, which is confession. And that's your time to examine yourself and confess your sins to the Lord. To confess means to admit it. Admit your sins in detail. Don't just say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Kind of this blanket, non-specific, generalized prayer. You need to specifically confess your actual sins. Say, Lord, please forgive me for this and that. And you are apologizing to the Lord, and your heart is to repent. So confession, and then the T is for thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, spend a few moments just thanking the Lord for all the things that He's given you and done for you, and all the blessings. If you want to change your attitude and have a better, happier attitude in life, start every day in a time of thanksgiving. That really, really works. And then finally, supplication is the last letter in Acts. Supplication just means prayer, requests, requesting things from God. So you finish off your prayer time by asking for things. You know, the word prayer just means ask. That's all. Pray means to ask. That's all you're doing. You're asking the Lord for what you need and for what your family and friends need. And you just may need strength. You may be depressed, so you may need joy. You may be worried, so you just need some peace, inner peace. Maybe you're lonely. You need a friend. Maybe you're looking for a spouse. Those are things. Lord, help me. Give me those things. Maybe you're looking for a new pastor. You say, Lord, give us a new pastor. That's your time. That's your time to pray and to ask the Lord for things, okay? Supplication. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Okay, then number five, scripture. You don't have to do things in this order. This is the order that I do them in. But you get to scripture next. You need to be reading your Bible. So you need an easy-to-use translation. Easy-to-use translation. If you make a 36 on the ACT, I will allow you to read the King James Version of the Bible. Okay? Otherwise, you need a modern, easy-to-read translation like the Christian Standard Bible. That's what I read from, Christian Standard Bible, CSB. There's many good ones, though, the New Living Translation, the New International Version. All great translations, very reliable. So get an easy-to-read translation and get in the habit of going through a Bible reading plan, a Bible reading plan. And so if you go to our church website and look on resources, I've got 5 or 6 different Bible reading plans that you can download and print out at your house. And you can follow a Bible reading plan. That makes sure that you don't have to decide what you're going to read every morning. And it also makes sure that you're reading through all of Scripture, not just focusing on, you know, some people would just love to hang out in the book of Proverbs their whole life. There's much more to God's Word than just the book of Proverbs. So it helps you to read through all of God's Word. And if you come upon parts of Scripture that you don't understand, well, just keep reading. You'll get the parts that you can't help but understand. You know, I heard somebody say one time, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. And that's the tough parts of Scripture. And you will find plenty in the Bible to apply to your life. You just keep reading until something jumps out at you and you say, oh, I need to do something about that. And so as you read the Bible, what you're trying to do is apply it to your life. Apply it to your life. This is God's word. This was inspired by God. Every word in here is God-breathed. God is speaking to you through his word. And so as you're reading, you want to be thinking of several questions in your mind to apply it to your life. First of all, is there a command to obey in this passage? As I'm reading, is there a command to obey or an example to follow? Sometimes you'll read a story about Moses or about John the Baptist, and you don't see any commands, but you do see some examples to follow. You see some things in their life, you're like, man, I need to be more like that. So the first thing, you're looking for commands to obey or examples to follow. The second thing that you're looking for, is there a sin to avoid or an example to avoid? A bad example. So as you're reading, you're saying, is there a sin in this passage that I need to avoid? Is there something that's saying, stay away from this, don't do this, don't live like this? Sin to avoid or a bad example to avoid? And then you're also looking for promises to claim. Is there a promise to claim? The Bible has thousands of promises for us. So as you're reading, is there a promise in this that I can claim? Like God promising to provide for me or to protect me or to give me guidance or to protect my salvation, hold me securely in his hand? Is there a promise? And then finally, is there a truth to believe? You're looking for truths to believe. The Bible teaches us what to believe and what not to believe. The Bible teaches us the difference between truth, and error. So you're looking, is there a truth? You know, these are the same types of questions I look for when I'm studying for a sermon. So I'm reading a passage, I'm asking, is there a command here? Is there a sin here? Is there a promise here? What's the last one? Is there a truth here? I'm looking for those different things to see, how is God speaking to our church through this passage, okay? And then when something sticks out at you, when something jumps out at you in Scripture, what you're supposed to do with that is, of course, apply it to your life, but the way you do that is you offer it back up to the Lord in prayer. So you're reading through Scripture, and you come across a bad example or a sin that you need to avoid, and you realize, you know what, I've been violating this command. And so right then you stop and say, Lord, please help me to apply this. Please help me to stop living this way. Please help me to stop sinning in this way. Offer it up to God in prayer as you're reading. Okay, and then finally, after Scripture, the last part of a daily quiet time is discipline. Discipline. You got to have discipline. Just like, think of a daily quiet time as working out every day. Exercise, or it's spiritual exercise. In fact, that's one of the things I call it, a spiritual exercise. It's similar to going to church on Sundays. Wouldn't you agree that sometimes it takes discipline to get yourself to church on Sundays? Wouldn't you agree that you don't always feel like going to church? Yeah, you can be honest with me. Then those of you that are involved in home group, you don't always feel like going to home group. You got to make yourself do it. You don't always feel like eating healthy. You don't always feel like going to the gym. I never feel like going to the gym. I'm always having to make myself do what I need to do to stay healthy. Same thing with your daily quiet time. You've got to make yourself do it. And a lot of days it'll be fun and exciting and you'll want to do it. And a lot of days you're not going to want to get out of bed. You're going to want to hit that snooze button. So it takes discipline. There are three unrealistic expectations of a daily quiet time that I want to warn you about. Three unrealistic expectations. And by the way, this applies to any discipline, any daily discipline like eating healthy, exercising. The first one is doing it once will be life-changing. Doing it once, having one daily quiet time will be life-changing. And so I don't want you to get all excited this morning, all pumped up, and decide tomorrow morning I'm going to start having a daily quiet time. And you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, and you're going to read your Bible and pray and journal, and you're going to be like, didn't really change my life. You know, it's pretty much, it was cool, but, you know, my life's pretty much still the same. Yeah. Having one quiet time is not going to change your life. Just like going to the gym one day is not going to change your life unless you overdo it and die. A second unrealistic expectation is that it will always be equally exciting. it will always be equally exciting. As I said, sometimes you'll have a great quiet time and you'll come across a verse that you really needed it for that day. And you're like, man, this is great. Sometimes you'll have your quiet time and maybe in your Bible reading, you're like, okay, I just read a bunch of so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And you didn't get much out of your scripture reading. You were very sleepy during your prayer time and you may not get much out of it that morning. That's okay. And then a third unrealistic expectation is doing it sporadically will be equally beneficial. Doing it sporadically will be equally beneficial. Don't think that if you have a quiet time here and there, that it's going to get you anywhere. Just like exercise, you might exercise, you know, once, twice, here and there. That's not really going to get you anywhere. You got to be disciplined. You got to be daily. You got to get in a habit. Rick Warren talks about how to get into a habit. He says, psychologists tell us that it usually takes 3 weeks to get familiar with some new task or habit. It takes another 3 weeks before it becomes a habit. Now, the reason why so many people are not successful is because they have never made it past the six-week barrier. For your quiet time to become a habit, you must have had one daily for at least 6 weeks. So if you're struggling with consistency, what you have to do is you have to make up your mind, for 6 weeks, I'm going to have a quiet time on these days a week. For me, it's 6 days a week. I sleep in on Saturday morning. So from Sunday to Friday, I'm going to have a quiet time at this time, for this long, for 6 weeks, no exceptions. I'm not going to let anything get in the way of that. For 6 weeks, no exception. I don't care if I accidentally go to bed too late one night. Doesn't matter. I'm not gonna miss. And you'll find if you're willing to do that for 6 weeks, then it becomes a habit. Then it starts to feel awkward when you don't have a quiet time. Let me get to the end of this message. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, the United Methodist Church, not the United Methodist Church, but the Methodist Church. He preached over 44,000 sermons in his lifetime. He traveled by horseback and carriage nearly 300,000 miles. He wrote grammar and theological textbooks in four languages. And yet he always had time for a quiet time with God. While still in his childhood, Wesley resolved to dedicate an hour each morning and evening to Bible study and prayer. Now, many people don't know the rest of Wesley's story. John Wesley said this about his mother, Susanna Wesley. He said, I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England. What was so special about Susanna Wesley, this mother of his? Was he just giving her this common praise that we give our mothers? He said this, these are some things about Susanna that were special. She was the mother of 19 children, first of all. In fact, John Wesley was the 15th child. Charles, his brother, was the 18th child. Charles, by the way, was the music guy for John, and Charles wrote 6,000 hymns. So she was the mother of 19 children. By the way, it's a good thing she had a large family, or the world would have never had John and Charles Wesley. She would devote 1 hour a week to being alone with each child, to discuss spiritual matters. With 19 children, that's 19 hours. Here are some of the rules that she followed in training her children. Number one, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. In other words, get that child under submission. He needs to learn to obey his mama and daddy. Number two, teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Number three, give him nothing he cries for and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. Number four, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. I love that. So if the child does something bad and comes and confesses it to you before you find out, she wouldn't discipline him because she wanted to honor and teach honesty. Pretty cool. Number five, commend and reward good behavior. Don't just be negative all the time. And then one more that I wanted to point out, strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. Always follow through on your word with your child. When you tell them you're going to do something, do it. The interesting thing about Susanna Wesley was that she had a daily quiet time. And even with 19 children, she found the time to be alone with the Lord. And what she would do is she would actually sit down and pull her apron up over her head. And that was her message to her children. Back off. Don't talk to me. Don't mess with me. I'm spending time with the Lord. But that was the secret, I believe, of her strength and of her influence. Motherhood is a tough job, and it's the most important job. And you, of all people, you're going to need the Lord's strength. And so I want you to get in the habit of having a daily quiet time. Men, women, kids, I started having a daily quiet time whenever I was in middle school, when I was about sixth grade. And so I encourage you, spend daily time with God. As parents, part of our daily curriculum with our children, Lydia and the kids, they start out their morning with a daily quiet time. They come together for prayer, and then they each go their separate ways for a quiet time. And we hold them accountable to that. That's a good thing to teach your kids, your grandkids. All right, let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful for our mothers and grandmothers and the impact that they have made in our lives. There's no perfect mother, Lord, but man, our mothers have meant so much to us, and they still do. And Lord, we pray that you bless the mothers in this room. We pray that you bless the future mothers in this room, that you begin equipping them now with the strength, the energy that they need, the spiritual wisdom and insight that they need to be awesome mothers for Christ. We pray that they would be blessed today. We pray, Lord, that you would get our church into the habit of a daily quiet time. Help us, Lord, to be people who spend time alone with you, because we know that that's the source of our strength and of our wisdom. Help us, Lord, to have a blessed day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.